This is Electric Sisterhood podcast number 151. Crossing the streams. It's a guy thing.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we have a special guest with us, Xenocore from Ultimate Quest.
Hello, Xeno.
You'll never find, just as long as you live, someone who reviews games the way that I do. How y'all doing?
Oh, that was actually really good. That made my heart warm up a bit.
Oh shit, maybe I should practice.
I love that song.
There you go, people. The way to Pandalicious's heart is through Lou Rawls. That didn't come
well,
out.
Well,
right.
I can't do Isaac Hayes too well, so I gotta go even further back to Lou Rawls.
Well, neither can he. Let me segue into something that is good, angry, and accessible. Our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions for us, you can email us now at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you want to talk some shop or some business, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing on Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And while you're there, you can listen to shows like ours, shows like Xeno, Ultimate Quest, or some other things like Evil Avatar Radio.
Or Dead Pixel Live.
There's also Video Game Outsiders.
And there's also Orange Lounge Radio. And don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show or Friday Night Gaming.
So there's a lot of entertainment over there that you need to check out. And make sure when you do that you let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you.
Even if we didn't.
Yeah.
You should lie.
Throw our name around. We like it when our name is the name that gets name dropped.
For good things.
Yeah, good things, not the bad things.
No.
We don't want to be associated with those things.
That's right.
At all.
Mm-mm.
Not members of the blame game here. So with that said, I'm going to open up the mic, and I'm actually going to pass it over to Panda for the first time.
Oh, in a while.
Well, yeah. I've got stuff to talk about, but I'm trying to be sharing-ishly, like, plus I want to play with my phone
a little bit.
Sharing is caring.
So you want to do something right?
No, I mostly just want to play with my new iPhone.
Oh, well, then you know what? Give me the damn microphone.
Okay, here you go.
All right, go ahead. Go to your corner of Ninja Sistitude and finger around with your new thingamabob gadget. Well,
Ninja Vanish.
It's got a compass.
While I talk to the peoples.
Okay, I'm listening.
Hello, peoples.
Hi, people. Bye, people.
Hi, peoples. As you guys have known, I fairly recently got a DS, and I've been kind of shacking up with it more than my console due to the economy and the lack of job, and yes, I know, I suck. Anyway.
I'm not saying a word.
Nope, I figured I would throw that all in right now so that you wouldn't be able to segue. But anyway, with all of that aside, sometimes people are nice, and friends of friends who have loads of games that they have played but don't review will lend people who do want to do reviews games to play.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Long chain of nameless people.
That's right. I'm not going to plug just one because it was a chain, a very happy chain of DS people. And thank you very much.
You got chain bang? What? I'm very confused.
I can't believe that you just went there. Anyway, I did. They know who they are. Thank you.
You don't know who they are. Cause
I do too. Anyway, okay. Or at least I know some of them.
Okay.
Regardless.
I'll behave myself.
I've been on a quest for justice. And I want to find justice. I want to be friends with it. I want to do the right thing. So where would I go in my DS journey if not to Phoenix Wright? Now, I know that we've talked about Phoenix Wrong here.
Objection!
Your mother!
Is your mother.
I know, but anyway. So I've been playing, because I have acquired the first Phoenix Wright game, which is the one I'll talk about today, Ace Attorney, but I also have Justice for All, which I have not had a chance to delve into. It's from Capcom. Love the Capcom people. And now that I know that, you know, they did this game, I'm in love with them even more. It's your basic novel adventure video game. And you don't do a lot in terms of action. I mean, you're kind of a lawyer. And you start out, you're an assistant lawyer, and your first trial happens to be your first case. And you have your mentor, Mia Fey, and she's got really big boobs and wears this 9 necklace, or it looks like a 9.
It's a Matama.
Thank you. Thank you, Zeno. I love those things. I want one. And all my animes, people have them everywhere. But anyway, so you find out later on that she's actually a part of a priestesshood, shrine people up in the mountains. But that's beside the point. She's really awesome at her lawyer's office. And Ace, you know, Phoenix, he's kind of bumbling and he wants to show that he can do it. And his first case is pretty easy because it's kind of the tutorial anyway. So, of course, you're really not going to get it wrong. And then it's up to your deductions to go through all these cases. Now, I know in the copy of it that I've been playing, it actually has the additional case that actually wasn't on the original release of the game. And yes, because most of them, when you go through them, the cases that they show you, they all have turnabout in the front of the title. So it's like Turnabout Samurai, which happens on a movie set or a TV show set. Turnabout Sisters, which actually delves deeper into Faye's story. You know, all of them except for the last one, which is called Return, I think, From the Ashes, which actually has nothing to do with Mia, and I'm not going to explain why, because if you haven't played the game, I don't want to ruin it for you, because that's what the Turnabout Sisters case is all about. But you deal with another pair of sisters. So, I mean, this isn't your basic... I mean, there's a lot of girls, though, in this game, now that I think about it. So, I mean, it could look like it could potentially be a harem, but it's not. You're just that lucky that you deal with all these women all the time, and none of them want you, really. In fact, they all kind of hate you.
Okay. And the guy,
well, you're a lawyer, duh.
You're a lawyer. You're a defense. So, I mean, there's a whole air in the game that, you know, you're there to find, you know, you're there to defend your client. They're all supposed to be innocent. You're supposed to believe beyond a reasonable doubt that they're innocent. And you, no matter what, have to prove, you know, the prosecution wrong. So, of course, you have to have a very great antagonist. You have to have that great, you know, that obstacle. And in the beginning of this game, you actually deal with, you know, a prosecutor named Edgeworth. Who he has one of those fluffy things underneath his neck, and he kind of looks like, you know, he's from the Victorian period, and he's kind of ruthless, and he's been known to tamper with evidence, and he hasn't lost a case yet, so, you know, he's kind of a dick, you know. But then you find out that, you know, Phoenix and him used to go to school together for a while, and there's a story behind everyone who's involved, which makes a lot more sense.
So it's kind of like Perry Mason the game.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the sound there. Yeah.
Well, I watched some Perry Mason, but yeah, everyone's interlinked with everybody else, it seems. I mean, it's really enjoyable. Like, I'm playing the last case right now in my game. And since the last case has nothing to do with any of the other cases, it's okay for me to talk about it. It's actually my favorite case. One of the prosecutors, Lana Sky, who kind of looks like a younger Mia Fey with less boobs and no Atama, is being charged for murder. Now, she stabbed the man, and he's dead. But apparently the same murder happened across town, 30 minutes away from the original crime scene, and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with your original case comes into light. So now not only is Phoenix trying to defend Lana from murder, but he's got to break through this other case and find the link between those two cases to help solve his original case. So there's a lot of materials going around, and obviously you have to talk to people, you have to press for things, you have to search through garbage bins, and you always have to examine everything because the littlest thing can be considered evidence, which is very true in the legal world. As everybody knows, I am a criminal justice major in my school, so I mean, this game really kind of honed my senses, and the fact that it was a game made it that much more enjoyable for me. Now, does that mean I've gotten every case right? Fuck no! I have fucked up a lot.
Well,
you know,
what
that's
are you
why.
Gonna do?
I mean, I, you know, I'm not going to be a whiz at it. In fact,
or
I'm not.
An ace attorney.
Bite me. I mean, one or two of the cases I went through fairly easy, but later on in the game, the cases get more intuitive and you have to pay attention, and you know, it's not like you can pull back up dialogue that you had 2 days before in the game when you go to trial. Now, mind you, you can't go to trial until you have all of your evidence. So, I mean, that makes sense. But, you know, it's all wordplay. You have to be paying attention to what people are saying to you, because the moment somebody lies, you need to be ready to be like, objection! And you have to be ready to back it up. I just thought you could just object to everything and eventually people would crack, and that doesn't always work, as I've learned, actually.
Well, when you talk about gathering evidence, like, what kind of evidence are we talking about here? Is it mostly dialogue or imagery of things? How do you know when you've collected
there's
it all?
Inventory. In the court record, which is in the corner of your screen, when you finally are usually allowed to, for one, you have to get permission to defend whoever the defendant is, because sometimes they don't want you. Actually, so far in most of the cases, no one wants Phoenix to defend them, but he ends up just overriding them, or they decide that, you know, they have no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then once you're allowed to, you know, go around the crime scene, you need to, you know, you get the examine option, and you can scan around your top screen, and if something says to examine, you get a chance to examine it. Sometimes through talking with someone, they might say, oh, by the way, you might want this record from this time. You know, oh, a cell phone? We'll give you the phone records from the moment of the incident. So, I mean, it's not just stuff that you'll pick up. Sometimes you have to talk to everybody, and you have to say the right thing to the right person. And then on some cases, you might have to show somebody something that you already have to entice them to be more forthcoming.
Like your balls?
Well, not like your balls, but...
Okay. I just wanted to make, you know, be clear. Because you're talking about showing people something to make them,
yeah,
you know, enticed,
well,
and I'm just...
Like in the case Turnabout Samurai, which is about a TV show, the guy who plays the Steel Samurai, which is this big mogul in the game, he gets murdered. And everybody thinks it's the bad guy gets murdered in that, and everyone thinks it's the good guy. And the good guy looks like a bad guy. So you kind of want to go, well, maybe he did do it. But you can't do that. You seriously can't judge a book by its cover. But there's this old security lady who won't let you on the premises, you know, and she's all like, I love authority, you know. The detective came here and he showed me his badge and he seemed legit, so I had no problems letting him in. And at the time, at the start of the case, the only thing that you have on you is your defense attorney's badge, which kind of looks like a donut. It does. It
the donut
looks
like of justice?
It does, but it's actually the chrysanthemum, the symbol of the House of Japan. So
it looks like a donut.
Don't go talk to the emperor saying it looks like a donut.
I would never do that. No, it does. It does look like a donut. And as soon as you show it to this lady, she's like, oh, all right, you're authority. I guess I'll let you in. So, I mean, and eventually, at one point when you start, you know, losing steam, you just start showing everybody everything in hopes that something will arouse something in somebody else.
Sorry.
What?
Nothing.
But you know, that's seriously how it goes. And then when you're in, you know, when you're in the case, when you're in the trial... That's my favorite part, because, you know, you have to wait for them to go through their testimony, and then you have to pick it apart. And you know, you really have to be paying attention to certain details. It is not a I can beat this game in a day. I mean, unless you're a fucking genius, and I mean, who knows? You might be. I'm not gonna say you're not.
Or you might be a redneck.
Hey, I mean, could be. Here's your son.
I think only somebody with James Woods' grasp of the English language be able to go through this game in one sitting.
Ooh,
I mean, honestly. Honestly, sometimes it's just one or two words that are added, removed, or changed that will give you your objection chance. So you really do have to pay attention and read.
To what they're saying to you.
Yeah, I mean, I played through the first one, too, and man, it was brutal the first time I went through.
I absolutely love it, though. I'm on the last case. I'm going after, or I just put on the stand Jake Marshall, who was a detective but now is an officer. He's the guy who was watching the evidence room. And he talks like Southern, like he's from like Texas. So he says, so he doesn't talk normal. So his interrogation is so much harder than everybody else's because I'm like, I don't know what you mean by prairie dogging. I don't get what you mean by, you know, a lone tumbleweed. I'm like, what am I looking for?
You seriously don't.
I know what prairie dogging means, but you know what I mean. It's the jargon. He speaks like an old Western movie, so I mean, unless you've watched enough of them, you know. Granted, after a while, if you don't get it, Edgeworth will say, "Oh, so you mean da da da." So I mean, but then you feel like such a fuckwad because you're like, "Well, I knew that. Why didn't he just say it?" You know. but that's the last case on this disc, this game is probably my favorite because I still haven't cracked it yet. I have an idea where it's going to go, but I have to get there. It's one of those things where you could know the result, but you don't know how you're supposed to get there because it's one particular path. Like there aren't several different combinations that will lead you there.
Okay.
It's one decisive track, and if you're not on it, you're not on it.
So it's pretty much like a dating sim game of you've got to remember all the bitch's details in order to get her to take her clothes off.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I'd say it's closer to the old like a Monkey Island or whatever. Just certain things won't trigger unless you have certain things in your inventory.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I mean there's a lot of humor going on. Like one of Phoenix's friends, his name's Larry Butts.
Okay.
I mean, some of the names are very straightforward. You know, there's Detective Gumshoe, you know, Phoenix Wright, who fights for the right, and
yes.
You know, Edgeworth, because he's on the edge. I mean,
yeah.
Some of them, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And from people who have played these games and have played Apollo Justice, they have told me that if I really want to appreciate this game and what it does, then I should only stick to Phoenix Wright games and never play Apollo Justice. You know,
What have you decided?
Well, I don't think I'm going to play Apollo Justice because there were so many really bad cosplayers who were playing cosplaying as Apollo at this year's Anime Boston, and they all kind of reminded me of, like, Astro Boy with clothes on crack that didn't speak English. And it hurt a little bit, you know. And I think, you know, these people were actually, you know, like Americans. So I mean, they do speak English as far as I know. But I mean, it seemed a little too much. Like sometimes you can beat a genre until it, you know, you can keep beating a dead horse, but it's, you know, a dead horse. It's not going anywhere.
But it will eventually become glue.
Well, that or maggots will eat the dead horse, and then you just have dead horse parts everywhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, outside of the whole defense side of the court system, I know that they're coming out with a game where now, instead of being on the defense, you're on the prosecuting side, and now you get to see more into Edgeworth's story. Where now, instead of trying to save people, you're trying to, you know, condemn them to butt rape in prison. And I think I'm ready to condemn people to butt rape.
I don't doubt that, actually. If I had to pick you for coming down on the side,
that's a steady job. That's a steady paycheck right there, prosecutor. You know, that's a state job. That's cushy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get one of those right now. Well, not you know, public prosecutor or whatever, but, you know, nice steady job.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you're wanting to condemn people to butt rape for real?
Well, I mean, if that was the case, then I should want to be a judge, because then I'd be like, I sentence you to 5 years butt rape. No. I would never say that.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
And you'd throw the gavel at him, too.
You would be like, I just pwned you in your anus. 5 years, son.
I don't sugar Will.
Oh, God.
But anyway.
I could see Panda on the stand throwing her gavel at somebody. Like, pwn. Bink. Bonk.
But I mean, this is one of those games that can totally eat away at, you know, if you're a car ride or a train ride or, dare I say, a plane ride?
Dare you?
I will, because it actually kept me from not freaking out when I was on my way to E3. So, I mean, if you're looking for something a little different from your usual hasher slasher, bonk it on the head, lift up the box, maybe think for once in your life type of game that isn't, you know, brain age Sudoku.
Right.
Then you should look at Phoenix Wright. It's an entertaining story. It will make you think. And, I mean, if you can find copies of it, because you can't find it drinking anywhere, then give it a shot. I really think people would enjoy this. And if you don't, then you can rub it in my face later. I'll say 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I really liked it. I'm really looking forward to playing through the other ones. I'm looking forward to playing the other side of the fence with Edgeworth. Not to mention, I think he's kind of cute for a sprite. So, yeah.
So a couple
and that's
of
all
things
I have to say about that.
On that, besides the rating, now that you've played the game, does Phoenix Wrong hold a better place for you
in your mind? Oh, gosh. Well, we already knew I was in love with Phoenix Wrongs. I mean, the original ones. I mean, granted, there have been many more since the ones that we were showing here on the site as being really funny. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just not funny.
No, not at all.
So, I mean, the original Phoenix Wrongs, I don't remember who originally did them, but he knows who he is. And if he's listening to us, he needs to go back and make more because they did it, or he did it, or she did it. They did it the best. And yes, now that I know who the sprites are, so, I mean, when they say certain things, I'm like, oh, now I understand why you chose for Phoenix to say that as opposed to, you know, Von Strama. Like, I mean, it really makes more sense to me now, and it's much more funny now in retrospect.
So if you don't know about Phoenix Wrong and you've played Phoenix Wright,
you should watch Phoenix Wrong first, and if you really like those, then you're probably going to really like playing Phoenix Wright. But don't expect Mia Faye to do the When Harry Met Sally moan thing, because she won't.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
It doesn't happen.
And then another thing you mentioned that just kind of got me thinking, so we're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. Imagine that, on an ESH podcast, going off on a tangent.
Tangents what? Here? Never happened.
Tangent alert! Whoop, whoop. You mentioned Astro Boy.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Astro Boy movie.
Oh, you do?
I do. I want to talk about it for a second.
All right.
Because I keep watching the trailer, and for like the first minute and a half of the trailer, I'm going, okay, this is good. This is good. I think this is going to be good. I think they're not going to fuck it up. And then the last half of the trailer, I'm like, oh, you're making me so mad. I want to
see. I haven't seen the trailer for this yet.
How about you, Zeno? Have you seen the trailer?
Negative. I have not.
Okay. So as far as the Astro Boy movie goes, it's CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Which it should be if it's not going to be hand-drawn. And they definitely stay in the character mode. So it's not like they have tried to reinvent any of the characters, which was one of the things I was terrified of happening, that they'd try to make Astro Boy a little edgier so he'd fit in with today's crowd.
You mean they bastardized him.
He's hitting on chicks.
You know, exactly. Yeah. He has, you know, a chain and he's emo.
He's constantly blowing up because Michael Bay's doing it.
Because Michael Bay demands things to be awesome.
Michael Bay's explosions! It's just nothing but explosions! Whoa, did you see that one? Explosions! Okay. A Michael Bay production.
He's so funny.
Oh, Michael Bay. Keep blowing shit up, you crazy pyromaniac.
Hey, sometimes fire works.
True.
Sometimes it does, okay? They're in an action flick. All right. If you have bad guys and good guys, and the bad guys are the type of people to kill people,
then you need to probably blow their fucking asses up.
Yes, and they will probably blow somebody up in the process. There should be explosions. Okay? But it doesn't need to be, like, explosions on the level where John Landis piles up cars into each other and just keeps crashing more cars into each other. You don't need to have a mushroom cloud build onto another mushroom cloud, build onto just inanimate things just all of a sudden spontaneously combusting. It doesn't happen. Spontaneous combustion. Nah, not so much.
Good point.
Anyway, when you take a look at the voice actors that they've lined up for the movie, I get really excited. Like, they've got Nick Cage in there, Donald Sutherland in there, Kristen Bell in there, Eugene Levy, and Bill Nighy in there. So the lineup is very strong. Not a lot of no-name people. A lot of people that have great acting pedigrees and have done voice work before and been very emotional. Which, you know, Astro
Wait,
Boy,
no, wait. You said Kristen Bale's in it, so he's not going to give us...
Kristen Bell, not Christian Bale.
All right. I was about to say, I was like, because, you know...
I said, yeah. I said,
is he going to play a dog? Because, you know, he probably would do that pretty well.
He's not going to be Astro Pup.
A very emo dog?
As far as I know, he's not Astro Pup.
No, okay.
But why don't you email him and see what he says?
Pretty close. Sorry.
But I'm nervous because I love Astro Boy. It was probably the anime cartoon that got me interested in anime. Period.
Actually, isn't that one the first one that came out in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Even before Speed Racer. Yeah, Astro Boy was the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then
Speed Racer.
Gigantor. What?
Oh, no. I'll finish your tangent and then I'll go on mine.
Okay. But I'm just very nervous about whether or not it's going to be good. And then if it is it going to be good enough to get enough people to go and see it and appreciate it being good? Like, nobody appreciated how good Aiko was until a year and a half later.
Good
when
point.
You couldn't find it anywhere. And everyone was like, yeah, the few of us that got the game, like the 15 of us, kept going, but it's the shit. You should play it. It's like awesome. And the same thing with Shadow of the Colossus. Everyone was like, yeah, it's kind of neat. And then a year and a half later, yo, Shadow of the Colossus was like this crazy off the chain shit. You should have played it. And they're like,
yeah, now you can't find them anywhere. And now the problem is the same thing's going to happen with Last Guardian.
I don't think so. I think Last Guardian, I think people kind of, I hope, learned from
Aiko
and
so
from Shadow of the Colossus. And that they'll be like, you know what? I'm going to get on this shit the first time around because I'm not going to mess this one up. It looks cool. But that's my tangent on Astro Boy. Speed Racer.
Yeah. So, you know, I was totally anti-Speed Racer when I saw the previews for it.
I'm still anti-Speed Racer.
Didn't go to see it in the theaters because I was so anti-against it because of the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sad it was one day.
You're on crack. You're announcing to the world you're on crack, right?
No. But here were my options.
Okay.
You know, free movies on the movie channels.
Right.
And the only things that slightly made me tinge, and I don't even say tinge in a good way, it was either Twilight or Speed Racer.
Ah! Ooh! That's a rock and a
hard
place.
Those sparkly vampires for you?
Oh,
what?
God!
Okay.
So
no,
Panda...
No sparkly vampires. This is vampires.
So
though.
Panda muscling her might. Because she was bored and there was nothing else she could possibly have done with that moment
Couldn't
in time.
Couldn't you have read a book? There's the internet. Forbleach.net.
But I was watching the big TV.
Oh.
So I said, before Eshmum got home into the TV, let me watch a movie.
Oh.
So, of course,
and you went with Speed Racer.
Speed Racer.
See, here's the thing. If I was given the same decision, I probably would have gone with the Twilight.
Now, see, here's the twist of it. The next day, I watched Twilight, and I got physically ill while watching Twilight.
Oh, I weep
and
for
the,
you.
And the sad thing is, because, I mean, all right, Speed Racer, I'm not going to say it was horrible.
Because you're going to be gracious?
Yeah. I mean, if you go by the concept of the story, I mean, some of the things were still very linear. Do I like how they went about doing it? No. They made it far too bright. It felt too campy.
Here's the thing about Speed Racer. Every time I watch the trailers, every time I watch the trailers, because Speed Racer should be campy, but every time I watched it, it looked like, remember that Janet Jackson video where she was like in Japan, she was trying to be Harajuku, and she was on a little great thing. Doesn't really matter, that video.
Yeah.
That's what Speed Racer looked like to me, like that Janet Jackson video, and I didn't like that video.
Yeah, I get you. You know, the basic story was there. I mean, I did like the fact that they had John Goodman be the dad, and
John Goodman was perfectly cast for that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people were perfectly cast for their roles. I thought. I mean, and I liked the monkey, but I didn't like the whole it's evil corporations and no. But I let that go because I was like, I'm not going to watch Twilight. Okay. I'd rather watch this than Twilight.
And so then there was Twilight.
And let me tell you, and then I'll end my tangent, I swear to God. But now I'm not a vamp girl by any stretch of the imagination.
I am. Sorry.
Now I love the mythology in vampirism. I will admit it. I will. Full outright. So I mean, everyone was making such a big deal over this Twilight thing, and they seriously were. But I was like, you know what? I'm happy with Interview with the Vampire. I'm happy with
True Blood is the shit.
Yeah, I was happy, and I'm happy with Queen of the Damned. Too bad I leave it. I was happy with it in a book form.
Book form. Okay.
I watched the movie. I can stomach the movie.
I can't. I have got to be very drunk.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one.
No. You're part of the crew today. Yes, join in.
But right, I actually enjoyed the movie, but I didn't read the book first, so I'm not jaded.
Book
Akasha
better.
Was a lot more badass in the book.
Yeah, big time.
Like, Aaliyah did what she could with the amount of life that she had left at the time that she was making that movie. But if you read the book, Akasha was far more ruthless than they made her. So they toned her down
way too much.
And they made Lestat too whiny.
Akasha just killed shit for killing it.
Yeah.
As she walked down the road, just like, you know what? I don't really like any of this. This bores me. And just wipe out everything.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, and Lestat was kind of, you know, because he was so famous and was a rock star, he was a lot more flashy and much more gay-ish. So, I mean, if you go by basic vampire lore, there are so many things that Twilight did wrong. I mean, all right, I admire Stephanie Myers for her innovation. I love that. I admire that she wanted to try something different.
Okay, yep.
Do I think she hit gold? No. Because all the vamp girls and vamp boys are now plotting her demise. Because no. When vampires are out in the sun, they blow up. They do not sparkle. Vampires do not drink the blood of animals because they have morals. No. 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 No.
It's not a survival skill.
Now, I have to admit, the one part in the movie that I actually liked as a creative thing is the fact that the only time that they can play baseball is during thunderstorms because they hit the ball too hard and it sounds like thunder. I like that.
That makes a lot of sense.
I liked it. I'm not going to lie to you. I liked that. That made sense.
Okay.
To me.
Here.
It's it.
All right. Okay.
But, One more thing. Now, later on in the book series, because I did some research after I vomited from the movie.
Sorry.
That later on, the heroine of the story, who we know eventually gets bitten and becomes a vampire, for one, it's like Venom. Like, when vampires in this alternate universe bite people, it's not that they just suck the life out of them and they become undead. No. It's a Venom. So now vampires are like fucking snakes. And I'm like, fuck that. And now you can get pregnant. Vampires can knock people up, which doesn't make sense because, one, they're undead, so their sperm would be undead too. But no, not in the magical world of Twilight. Everyone can get fucked.
Okay, here's the thing.
I'm sorry. I could not see this. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Okay.
I'm like, Anne Rice was dead, she would be spinning in her grave.
Okay, so here's the thing.
And it hurt. It hurt to watch, guys. I'm not even going to lie to you. It hurt my vampire soul. And I don't even have one. And it hurt.
So,
Sparkly vampire in the sunlight. What the fuck is this shit?
Okay, I have a lot of problems with Twilight. I'm with you on the sparkly vampires.
Oh my God, emo, we can't be out in the sunlight because we glitter like diamonds. Go to fucking LA, people would love you.
Isn't that what fallen stars are supposed to do, is glitter?
Yes, what they're supposed to do. Then go on adventures. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't leave Wall is the thing. And these guys are just all over the place.
I loved Stardust.
Stardust is great. The book was great. Here's my thing about vampires, and then we can get back on track and talk about Ghostbusters.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. It's tangent day.
I couldn't help it. It was hurting me not to let it out.
I understand, you know, and this should be therapy for you.
I feel better now.
I'm glad to do it for you. Here's the thing about vampires, okay? You can be creative. You can try to do something different. Nobody's knocking anybody for that. The problem that I have is that when you fuck with a history long of background for a mythical creature, bad things are going to happen one way or another.
We're going to kill your unborn children.
You know, if we've already played with in movie form before the idea of a vampire being pregnant, and they did it in Underworld.
Did this so much better.
Angel as well.
Exactly. Same thing in Angel. But the way that it was delivered, it was acceptable. You could suspend your disbelief enough to go, yeah, why couldn't a werewolf knock up a vampire? Because werewolves aren't...
Werewolves are like dogs and they hump everything, so why wouldn't they hump vampires?
Like, and your brain goes, yeah, they're not undead, so they would have lively sperm, and they just turn... So would they have a litter... Would they, like, be little puppy people? Like, you could go some funny places with that. But when you think of a vampire, fucking a vampire, and then maybe...
And then having a little child.
But this is a non-live with a non-live. How can you still make live?
But then again, if you look at it in the mathematical sense, negative times a negative is a positive.
Times, but we're talking plus.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, negative plus a negative still a negative.
Yes, it is. Good point.
I fucking hate Twilight. And
oh my God.
High School Musical, I choose to endure as this too shall pass.
Oh God. I almost thought about watching High School Musical 3 too, but I was like, nope.
Were you going for the trifecta of suck?
I didn't watch it, so I didn't do the trifecta, but I was close.
Oh, man.
I was like, what would I rather watch and might possibly enjoy over the other?
Dude.
And I like musicals, but...
Don't Mess with the Zohan over High School Musical.
You know what? It's free on demand, so, you know, I might do that tonight.
Yeah, the hummus jokes would be so much better than High School Musical. Seriously.
All right, good. All right, then. That's been decided.
So from mythical creatures, let's jump to game review of Ghostbusters, the game.
Yeah!
Alrighty, Ghostbusters!
Ghostbusters! Who you gonna call?
Yes, Ghostbusters.
Xenocor!
To open with, I think Hollywood should take a note as to exactly the timing and the way this game was developed, because I believe if they follow the same... path, they will make more money from their movie project game, so to speak. Don't release it with the movie. Do something a little bit different with it and give it its time to percolate, and you'll come up with a much better product. Because,
like your morning coffee.
Yes, because as a movie property, this is possibly the one of the best done ones I've seen.
Okay.
Has anybody played it here yet?
I have not been able to get my grubby little hands on it.
Me neither.
I'm working on that.
Did you get a chance to see it at E3 by chance?
Did see it at E3.
Okay, so you at least have some visuals. Yep.
Yes, okay, in our mind, yes.
Alrighty. Now, to start with, of course, they got the original writers on this one. Harold Ramis, as well as, well, I forgot the other writer, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, they did a wonderful job of putting this thing together. It doesn't quite come off as well as it does in the movie, but because it's a different environment, I don't blame them for it. But it's still very funny. You'll get some chuckles, especially if you're familiar with the other two movies, so you know your background, because they allude to it a lot, like with little things here and there. See, to get to the technical stuff, the sound is amazing. They got the original background music from the movie at their disposal.
Nice.
The sound effects, I'm pretty sure they came from there too. They may have reworked them, but the sound effects are great and straight out the movie. You listen to what's going on, you can pretty much know exactly what's being used where and when, which is important when you're fighting with the other guys. The acting is great because, you know, of course, they're all seasoned actors, especially Egon, my man, holding shit down, as well as Ray. He's freaking sergeant in this thing. It's unbelievable. It's like, I thought he's even more gung-ho in this one than he is in the movies previous. But anyway, but all the audio work is tremendous in this game. All outstanding. The video is quite high up there as well. I mean, everything is incredibly colorful. Lots of primary colors in this. Granted, the game can be dark, but when you're actually trying to catch the ghost, everything stands out that much more because of all the, you know, the colors and such. The proton streams look like the way they're supposed to. The traps and everything. I can't allude anymore about the quality of the artwork they put and attention to detail. When you first get into like the interface design of the what's going on, they tell you everything you need to know is on your pack, a la Dead Space, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Sorta. Usually, they put more than one cue into how much energy you have. Now, granted, there is no death in this game. The energy is just to show you when you would be knocked out, so to speak. And like Republic Commando, your game's not over until the entire team is down at once.
Okay.
So when you get knocked down, either you or a team member gets knocked down and you get an icon to where they're at, and somebody will have to come over there and pick them up to revive them.
Okay, kind of like the calling for help with the Gears of War game.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any problems when you can you cross streams?
You should not cross the streams, though, until you
true.
Get
to and you'll be alluded to this fact many times. I did not awesome. Notice the game effect, though. I believe it might just sap some of your strength to make you easier to knock over if a ghost happens to hit you. But I didn't see any gameplay effect for crossing the streams. You do see a bit of a visual one, but still, it's pretty hard to do on purpose, especially when you're fighting at a different angle. His shot might be a little lower than yours, and they don't cross, that type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is hard to do, but later, we all know what happens when you cross the stream. I'm not going to go into it here. I mean, nobody likes to lose all their particles and travel away at the speed of light. It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
And a bit stings, too. Mainly, the interface, although it was well done, it's almost unnecessary because they over-designed it to a point. Whenever you get damage, you get an indicator on the screen, just all a Half-Life has been doing for years. You know, you see, mm-hmm. you get hit from the left, you see a little flash of red on the side. And as you take more damage, you get a little bit more tunnel vision and your screen gets blurry. So you don't really need to look at the proton pack to see what your health is. You know, once you start, hazing over, it's like, oh, shit, I better not get hit.
And you're like, oh, wow, I'm hurting.
Yeah, and you start dodging a little bit more. Also, the proton pack, instead of just blasting away, has a reload mechanic into it because the pack can overheat, so you have to vent it. There's a little red indicator on the side, but that is small, too. It's realistically sized, which isn't good for the player because the camera's behind you, the third-person game. Luckily enough, there's an audio cue. You hear the pack do a little overheat alert whenever you get really close, and you know to hit the R key and reload it real quick. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is for the PC version, not the console.
Yeah, we're about to say R key. I have the R trigger.
Yeah.
And button.
Me too.
Yeah. So the animation is great. The textures and skinning are excellent. This, unless you have a fairly new machine, it might make your machine cry a little bit.
But that's like okay. It can endure.
Yes, I mean, it doesn't become game-stopping, but you will notice that sometimes you'll need to spin around for a moment and let the game catch up in memory, and then once it does that little hiccup, then it's usually good. It just has to load everything else that's in the background. So, that's enough with the video. The level design, a little bit of work there, but overall very, very well done. The level design is great. It flows naturally. When you're catching ghosts, it actually feels just like you're an exterminator trying to get rid of pests, or a deep sea fisherman. Literally, it has that gameplay mechanic to it. Of course, there's a mechanic I'll discuss the first level and explain everything. Slimer gets loose. So they use that as the training level, so to speak, of how to catch a goat.
Gotcha. Slimer.
Yep, Slimer is in this one, too. He's pretty much a guinea pig at this point.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they were showing off a little bit in one corner at E3. Because Atari wasn't present on the show floor. They had Ghostbusters outside, and there was this one little corner where you could actually find it.
Yeah, so Slimer escapes. And you basically play around with Slimer learning the game mechanics. So in all earnesty, the way they did this makes a lot of sense. They never really discussed what was going on in the movie. But with all the shooting and stuff that they were doing, the way they explained it makes a lot of sense, which is good. It shows these guys actually know how to write. So that way everything makes sense.
What? Talent?
Talent. Who knew? Yeah, so at first you have to wear the ghost's PK energy down by blasting it. That's what the streams are doing. They're wearing them out. Right. Once they get to a point to where they're weakened, you can physically slam them around the room to shake off what little energy they have left so they don't fight as much before you put them into a trap. So you catch them, you wear them down until they're a little bit, slow. Then you use the capture stream. It's just a little switch you hold down while you're firing, and you'll capture them, and you can pull them around the room.
Like a Pokemon?
Yep. And then as soon as you get to a... you'll notice that there's a small energy meter that shows up once you do that. That shows the ghost trying to get his energy back. But once it hits a threshold point, you hit a button and you slam him on the wall. And you can do this for each of the four different energy levels he gains. So some ghosts, right when you capture them, you got to beat them up for quite a bit before they'll be willing to go into a trap. And then the third mechanic, you have to hold them within the trap's cone. When the trap opens up, you'll see a little yellow cone. You have to keep them in that. They'll try to escape off to the left or the right. So you have to pull them in, just like a fisherman would, until the trap closes, which is kind of cool.
That's a heavy mechanic.
And, of course, you have to pick up the trap before you leave the area. You only get one, but you can use it multiple times. It recharges, I think, after you catch a ghost, and then it will be ready to trap another ghost. Yeah, I mean, the way they went about this is a lot of fun. I mean, at one point, you're in the History Museum, and you walk through the Civil War exhibit. Next thing you know, you see rebel ghosts and union ghosts fighting each other, and then they start shooting at you as well as each other. So it's literally a huge cluster. So you have, I think at the time, you only have two other guys with you. So you have to actually work together to get some of these ghosts in there, because one guy might get taken out while the other two are busy catching something else. So it's a lot of busy work. And the pacing in this game is just about where it needs to be. So it's urgent, but it's not too much to where a new player will seem overwhelmed.
Now, the Ghostbusters movies, and all of us have watched them. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that hasn't seen at least one of them, were known for their tongue-in-cheek humor. And Dan Aykroyd has even come out and said that, they're happy with the game, but, thinks that it could have been a lot more funny. Do you, having played the game, find that to be the case? Like, were you looking for more jokes or better corny things to happen, knowing how many of the originals were involved in the making of the game?
Dan Aykroyd knows what he's talking about. There are parts that are funny, but they're funny tee-hee and not funny, oh my god, raffle.
Oh my god, Ghostbusters humor.
Yeah. I mean, Egon can only be so funny. But you end up working a couple missions with him, so that part of the game doesn't seem as funny as, say, like when you're working with Ray or with Venkman, because the part with Venkman in the first mission where he's trying to get revenge on Slimer is pretty funny. Egon, he's hardcore, but he's Egon. He's not exactly the funny one in the group. So there are parts where it picks up, parts where it seeps down, but well enough. All the parts with Walter Peck are hilarious, so that's good.
So what do you rate it on a scale of 1 to 5?
I'll give it a 4, maybe 4.5. I was going to give it 8 to 10. Well, that's a 4 anyway. But the main thing is, for the PC, there is no multiplayer. There is only the single player campaign. Yes, that was very disappointing. The game slowdown is still a factor. I mean, even though it doesn't stop play, it does seem to
lag.
Make you want like, eh, you know, that type of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if they left too many graphics in there for the PC version, because it was quite detailed. Even for my little video card, I was like, wow, they put a lot of, like, just the backpack alone has tons of polygons in it. And certain missions seem to have a bottleneck in difficulty. Like, they'll jump up in difficulty for a moment, and then it seems to ease off. So I ended up almost, it's like, what the hell am I missing? You know, because some of the bosses have a bit of a puzzle to them to figure out, mm-hmm. and you use the other weapons in the proton pack to get around this. You know, they have, there's four different modes, two modes of firing all together, so eight weapons for capturing ghosts. Of course, the main proton stream is there. You have a, the slime gun is also in there, and they have two optional ones on top of that that help to mitigate some of these ghosts. Each ghost has their own weakness, so you can scan them with a PKE meter to see what's going on. And the closer you are to a bullseye of the PKE, the more information you get, which is kind of cool.
Right.
As well as using that to find hidden items and hidden ghosts. At time to time, you'll have to do that. But that also slows down the pacing because you can't run when you're using the PKE meter. So when you're searching around in certain missions, it'll take a little bit to get to the point you're trying to do if you're searching the entire time. So usually, at least in the game, they seem to prompt you whenever you're in the area you should be using the meter at, which is good, but still it shows that, you know, there was a bit of a weakness in the design, you know. And on top of that, the last battle seems kind of, after some of the other ones are like, whoa, I can't believe I beat this guy.
Oh, all right. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, but the cool thing is, all in all together, you're very happy with the way they integrated the story with the game. I think everybody will have a blast. Everybody should play this game. Regardless of what version you get, everybody needs to play it because this is possibly the best, the most fun I've had with a game. Just sit down and play it and you're happy and you can leave it afterwards that I've had in a long time.
Well, that's a big thing to be able to say because haven't been a lot of games in a while to leave people feeling that way. And I think that just says a lot with the lineup that we're looking at going through summer and into holiday. I mean, you got Prototype out there, which I still haven't beaten, but is just an amazing visual thing to try and run through, let alone digress the story. I still haven't picked it up. Infamous, I keep playing through the demo and, you know, being surprised at how deep and big the demo is, but I refuse to try to play both Infamous and Prototype at the same time. And then you've got Ghostbusters that's been sitting out there on my side burner of going, you know, you see this. It's on the PS3. It's on the Wii. It's on the PC. It's on the Xbox 360. And there's even a PS2 version of it. It's everywhere. So there's really not a lot of reasons why people shouldn't be picking up this game. I mean, unless you're 11 and you don't know who the Ghostbusters are. And even at that point, it has Ghost in the title and Buster. You're 11. Pick it up.
Yeah.
On top of that, if somebody hasn't seen that, I'm pretty sure this game would be a decent reason for them to want to go watch those movies. Especially in the when they have a Gozer exhibit in the history museum. And everybody gets possessed. And they wonder what happened. You know, that's hilarious to me. I mean, especially when you see Walter Peck flying around doing the Watusi for no apparent reason. Yeah, so I don't know. I can make jokes about him all day. He's such a peck. So.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm with
you. Yeah, man. Yeah. The moment they start cracking jokes about him, that was my Rafa moment. Was them arguing with Walter Peck. So that was beautiful.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for the information, the report, the lowdown, the nuts and bolts of the deal. Definitely be on the lookout for the Ghostbusters game if you got something that you're just itching to play and you've beaten all the other stuff that you own. I'm going to talk about something that kind of bridges both mediums here that we've been kind of skirting around today, which is video games and movies.
Uh-oh.
It's not going to hurt, I promise.
Thank God, because I don't want it to hurt anymore. Stop the hurting!
I'll stop the pain.
Please!
So I got a press release this week from Sony Online Entertainment, and I thought, wow, what does SOE want to tell me about this week? And it's that there's an EverQuest documentary coming out.
Ah. Oh, no. Wait, you said it wasn't going to hurt. You said it wasn't going to hurt. You said it wasn't going to hurt.
No, because here's the deal. The documentary is done by SOE, which means they're not going to get on the addiction piece too awful much, they want to celebrate the 10th anniversary of EverQuest. That's right, people. 10th anniversary. You've been playing Evercrack for 10 years. You might
want to
put it...
And the addiction's still strong.
You might want to put it down. But it seems like they do get it, though, because the documentary is called Evercracked, The Phenomenon of EverQuest.
Oh, they thought they'd be funny about a very sad reality.
Oh. And it's debuting at Fanfare 2009 in Vegas.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if we're going to talk addiction, why not throw the party in Vegas?
Let's the home of happens. Addictions, where addictions start.
Why don't we do that? So June 26th, if you're in the area, you might want to check it out. But basically what they're doing is they have Jace Hall basically going through, taking a look at past, present, and future of the franchise. And they definitely want a future of the franchise because, you know, slinging crack is a good business. People keep coming back for more and more and more. Yes, I'm looking at specific individuals when I say this.
Hey! Don't look at me. I left.
Yeah, but you talk about coming back. I see the itch in you.
There's no itch. I don't know what you're talking about.
I see you scratching right now through the internet.
I'm not scratching right now. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Sure you're not.
Actually, that was me. Sorry.
Oh. Well,
my bad. Wrong chocolate person. My bad.
Don't stop thinking dirty. I wasn't scratching there. You can stop it.
I wasn't even going to go there. Yep. But they talk about the art of the game, the humor in the game, putting it together, how to build on top of it, and, you know, mostly talking about the success of the game. And I think that it'd be really interesting to see as it gets closer to it releasing how many people pick up on it and talk about, oh yeah, don't forget there are two sides to this coin. Because there are a lot of people that, you know, ever crack has not been a positive thing in their lives.
Yeah.
And I want to know when the WoW documentary is so I can write the developers about you.
I don't play anymore. I am no longer addicted. Let it go.
But what do you think? I mean, what do you think about the change of, especially this last year, of the TV and film industry focusing on the game piece of things? Like, you've got MTV looking to try and find addicted video gamers in general to do a reality show on.
I don't know why.
Well, that's a live series. That's always been around like that. And actually Sci-Fi covered the programmer thing already.
Yeah. Sci-Fi did it with Ultimate Gamer.
Yeah, but that wasn't about addiction. This is like taking the True Life series that MTV does and focusing on the addiction piece. Not the just gamer and enjoy it and I like doing it all the time. Like, they're looking for pretty much people strung out on games. And I never got that feeling from any of the episodes of WCG that I watched.
Oh, no, of course not. But then again, it's TV. They're going to shape it the way that they want it to be shaped.
Right, but I never thought that any of those people were addicted to video games. Like, they couldn't figure out anything else to do for the day.
Good point. Well, I couldn't be on that documentary because I don't play it anymore.
Anyway.
I am good.
But seriously, you know, looking at least I find it very interesting where it seemed like for the longest time there was no reflection of the gamer society on TV or in the movies. I mean, really since, like, The Wizard with Fred Savage.
Oh, man, The Wizard.
Because the Super Mario Brothers movie didn't count. I don't count that one. I don't think anybody
Wait, you mean the one with John Leguizamo?
Yes, and Bob Hoskins. And I love Bob Hoskins, but not as Mario.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. No.
Well, he's the closest looking guy you'll find in Hollywood to play Mario.
Well, then, but not now.
I think if you took James Gandolfini and put
really?
A big mustache on him, I would have to CGI him so that we could make him look shorter than Luigi. But I think he could do it.
Yeah, but he'd want to rub you out before anything else.
Well, this is true. All right, it would need some work. Maybe we'll get Michael Bay on it and put some explosions on it and nobody will notice.
We'll put some explosions behind him so then you're disillusioned by the explosions.
Mario.
To really care about his height.
And Luigi. Explosions by Michael Bay. Blowing up this summer. But I just think that they're it's very interesting to me to see how many people are, or at least within the film and TV industry, now realizing that, oh shit, gamers spend money. Like,
oh my
seriously.
God, gamers save money so that when their expansions come out, they have it.
Well, not only that, but
they don't work for that week.
Well,
so what do they do with the rest of that money? Oh wait, game
people. Exactly, and bundles. Like, it's just now that people started realizing, oh yeah, people will pay pretty much whatever you tell them to for bundles. We got asked a question this week of whether or not we think that you get your bang for your buck when you buy in bundles or when you buy special edition or, you know, collector's editions of games. And, you know, for me right now, I've kind of seen over the last, I would say, 6 months, a decline in value for a bundle versus just buying the game title by itself. Like, I there haven't been a lot of game bundles or even artist collections that have come out for games recently that have any additional art that you can't get anyplace else. I don't need you to give me a disc that has all the wallpapers that you made available on the website. I can get those from the website for freezies.
Good you know, boy.
I mean, you know, when you look at something like a Rock Band or a Guitar Hero where your bundle is a game and a peripheral that lets you play the game, I think that's in a separate category than from something that's like, I come in a collector's tin. Uh-huh. And? Because I'm paying $119, so where's my and? Oh, no, it's this tin, it's a collector's item. It's got a numbered edition and a little card that says it's a number of this run. Uh-huh. And?
I felt bad. I got the Soul Calibur 4 collectors that came with a t-shirt, but then I used the t-shirt to paint my room.
What?
Like, it was the shirt that I wore when I was painting my room, so now it's all purple.
Oh, my goodness. Girl, yeah. I still got my Sega Dreamcast release shirt, and I can still wear it in public. Why would you do
that? Oh, I can still wear this in public. I'm just covered in purple paint. So poor Nightmare is like purple, like a dinosaur, kind of like Barney.
You turned Nightmare into Barney.
Essentially. They're both just as evil.
That's right. Yeah, I really can't argue that. so I guess I'll move to this point. If you think of the last bundle or special edition or collector's edition of anything that you bought, what was it, and why did you buy the bundle version versus just the game title? And I'll start with you, Zeno.
I don't buy bundles usually, because usually when I'm going for, like, when I see they got collector's editions or anything else like that, to me personally, because I'm not that big of a fan, almost anything that you put in that isn't enough reason for me to spend it. Extra $20 or $30 of explosive handling money on that. I mean, considering how much I had to do to work for the money at the time, it's like, nah, you gotta give me a little bit more than that. But some companies do better jobs than others, so it's a case-by-case basis, but usually it's no. I can't pay any extra money for that. Now, if you gave me extra game content that would never show up anywhere else, I might be more inclined to get it. But just because you're giving me a shirt does not mean I'm going to give you an extra $20.
Panda?
Well, I mean, the last one I got that was more of a collector's that kind of, guess, was a bundle was Soul Calibur 4. But my most memorable collectible that I got was for GTA. Because I got the one that came in the safety box with the little art book and, you know, the soundtrack from the game.
And the bag.
Yes, and the bag. And I liked that. For the amount of money that I paid for, the lockbox is really cool. It actually does, you know, come with a little bit of a locking mechanism. So, I mean, if you wanted to use it for its intended purpose, I mean, I wouldn't hide drugs in there. Not that I use drugs, but I wouldn't hide
drugs
in there.
Yeah, weed ain't no drug. What are you talking about?
Very funny. But, I mean, it's a box. It has a purpose. You could put things in it and store it, and that's fine. Want to bring something with you and you want to look kind of badass with a small duffel bag? That works too.
Oh, yeah,
I like the
keychain.
I like the art. No, so yes, I like art books. And yes, the keychain. I have keys. I mean, the things that they gave you in that pack were things that you can, in fact, use in everyday situations, minus the art book, because you can't take somebody else's art, because that's copyright. But, and you that's actually legal activity, so in the world of GTA, I guess you could do that, too. So, I mean, that one, for the money that I paid for it, I thought that was well spent. So, but that's just, that is just me. That was my most memorable, and I didn't mind shutting that money out.
I was thinking about it, and I was going through, and I came to the same conclusion. The last bundle anything, or last special edition anything that I bought was the Grand Theft Auto special edition, and I did feel that I got my money's worth on that, because I've used that bag a few times. I have used the box. I did copy the audio music, because there were some of the radio station songs I absolutely fell in love with. So I did bring those over into my iTunes collection, and I even use, on a journey, I use a piece of it as a ringtone now when certain people call me. So, you know, on top of the game and then the DLC that I wound up getting, I do feel like I got my money's worth. Looking forward, you know, the only things that I'm seeing some value in are, you know, these music sim games and games that are taking advantage of things like the balance board. Like Tony Hawk Ride to me is just a massive balance board game.
Yeah.
Even though I fell off it at E3. But, you know, unless you are going to be bundling.
Somebody lacks balance.
Look, I lack balance after drinking, and I have never said that that was not the case. My balance is always impugned by the ratio of vodka that I take in to what goes out. And I think most people work that way. But for me, I'm looking at some of these press releases that I'm getting in for these, you know, limited edition games getting ready to come out. And we have a figurine, and it's 3 inches tall. And we have this. And in the special editions one, we've got this. And I'm like, you know, a bunch of coasters do not a special edition make. That really doesn't push me. A 3-inch figurine isn't going to make me very excited. Like, if you were going to do a Spawn game and give me one of Todd McFarlane's full-size figurines that are about 17 inches tall, that I might get excited about.
How about a lightsaber for Star Wars games?
An actual lightsaber instead of the keychain size one that I got?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. That would not suck. I would pony up money for that. Because the actual lightsaber that I was looking at was going to run me about, $100. So if I can get that in a game at the same time, yeah, I'm going to be happy about that. Right now, the only thing I'm looking forward to is the Rock Band Beatles and DJ Hero games, because I'm looking forward to getting my hands on the DJ Hero peripheral that I know I'll be able to use.
Especially after my article on it. Wiki, wiki!
You're horrible.
Did you read that article?
Of course, of course I did. I read our website every day.
Okay.
Typically, more than once a day. But, you know, the guitars that you can use in Guitar Hero, Rock Band, across the board, right now, they're the only things I'm seeing a lot of value in. And so I don't know if people are dropping the ball and really understanding that the thing that makes a collection edition great or bundle great is the value of what you put in the bundle, not just that you put the word bundle at the end of it.
Yeah.
Agree, disagree?
I agree.
Well, cool. That was my only thing for today, because I was kind of really wrapped up in that. I'm a big believer in that you should get what you pay for, and if you don't get your value out of it, you get to take it back or at least resell it. And there's a lot of these collector's editions that, you know, don't have high resale values, which tell me they're really not that big of a deal and not that big of a collector's item if they don't go for more than what you paid for them to begin with. That's my thinkination. So thanks for the bundle question. And with that, I'm going to have to say, you guys got to keep hitting us up on our website, because we love getting in questions from you. You can go to our website at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can visit us by using the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.m. Oh, wow. I just had a brain fart in the middle of our thing. That's so funny.
Your brain went on vacation. You should tell it to get on a plane. It should get on a red eye. It needs to get back here, like, quick.
ESH.movie, ESH.mobi. The show address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at questions@ESH.mobi. Or if you want to shoot us some business stuff, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing on Monday nights on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Our show airs on those Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can also catch shows like Ultimate Quest.
Or Dead Pixel Live.
Or Evil Avatar Radio.
Or Video Game Outsiders.
Even Platform Nations over there.
And don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming.
So make sure that you hit up allgames.com. Check out the news section, which is still in beta right now, but is looking really cool. And if you do, let whoever you're visiting with, let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you.
Yes, please.
Name drop. What?
/ name drop. Kay, thanks. Bye.
Wow. That's a bit much, but okay. So with that, I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, I think it's kind of toasty.
So since you're our guest, Zeno, what are you going to do with your toast?
I'm probably just going to eat it because, you know, lack of income makes me hungry.
Understood. Yep.
But wouldn't lack of income mean lack of food so you wouldn't have bread to eat?
Bread's kind of a constant.
It's called rationing is what it is.
Oh, emergency food rations. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And good thing I'm trained or else I'd really be whining.
Panda.
I'm going to object to my toast.
Oh, God.
Because I'm going to fight for some justice against the toast.
I was hoping you were going to say I was going to fight for some jelly to put on my toast. And then I would have actually probably blew snot out of my nose. I would have laughed so hard.
Oh, you should have gone objection because, you know, I don't like jelly.
I'm just asked Zach De La Rocha to bite you up. He loves fighting injustice.
I love fighting justice on behalf of food named toast.
Okay.
But anyway, what about you, Ninja? What will you do with your toast
today? I'm going to take my toast, and I'm going to do some garlic butter things to it because I'm going to cook Italian tonight, and that'll go great with it.
Ah, manja.
Yes, but my food will not give you the agita.
Oh.
Much like our podcast.
Will give you the itis?
No, cooking Italian, not tofu.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Thank you.
I don't know. If you get enough Italian, it can give you the itis, too. I mean, look at Brack. He loves it. Learning to talk Italian. Yeah.
Oh, Brack show was so cool. All right,
Sorry, Brack.
I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm the guest Xenocore.
And we are out.
Bye, everybody.
Laters.